Well, we're returning to John chapter 13. You remember that is the foot. This is the account of the Lord Jesus washing his disciples' feet. It was an act of great humility. And do you remember we saw that it was a picture of his whole life's ministry? That we read in verse 4, that he rose from supper, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments and took a towel. And what he did, if we go to Philippians chapter 2, we read, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." This is verse 5. "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He laid aside, as it were, his glory. He took upon him the form of a servant." And when he wrapped that towel around him, it's as if it's a picture of him putting on humanity, human flesh, and therefore veiling his glory. And then he came into this world to serve mankind, to live a perfect life, and to die a death that would atone for the sins of all God's people. And then when he risen from the dead, he returns to heaven. And we find that after he's washed the disciples' feet, he returns to the table. And we see that. Just one moment. Verse 12. So after he'd washed their feet, and had taken his garments and was set down again. It's as if the Lord Jesus is showing here a picture of after he completed his work on earth, he returned up to heaven. He regained, if in the sense that he'd, of course, he never lost his divinity. He was always God. He was always in heaven, but he was he returned, as it were, to the Father's right hand. And he was glorified. He maintains his human body, but a glorified body. And he sits, now we will see in this passage, he's been glorified by the Father. He sits at the right hand of the Father. So he came down to earth to wash the disciples' feet. He came down to live a perfect life and to die a death for all God's people. And then we had last week, if you remember, we had the prediction of the betrayal of Judas, which was the most frightening event, isn't it? It's entered our language to be a Judas. And we must never be Judases, mustn't we? We must not betray those that have put their trust in us. We must not betray their trust. And we must most of all never betray the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a frightening thought, particularly because Judas was one of the disciples. He'd been with the Lord Jesus for 3 years. It would appear that he performed miracles. When the 12 were sent out, he was sent out. He preached to others. Others might have been converted by his preaching, and they might have been baptized by him. And yet, all the time, he was stealing from the bag because he kept the treasury. He was the banker. He kept the money in a bag. And instead of being faithful with it, we're told that he stole from the bag. And that just began, that just an indication of where his heart was. His greed went far beyond that bag. And when the opportunity came to get 30 pieces of silver, that to Judas meant more than being faithful to the Lord Jesus. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, Paul wrote, "The love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Friends, do you want to be rich in this world? Well, the rich, we should be rich towards God, not greedy for money. And friends, it starts when you're young. Perhaps if you go into the sweet shop, you see all these beautiful sweets and you want to take them because you haven't got any money and mummy isn't going to give you any. But that would be stealing, wouldn't it? And we're not to steal. See, that was what was in Judas's heart. He was greedy. He stole the money, and in the end, he betrayed the Son of God for 30 pieces of silver. Let us be warned. And the other frightening thing is that no one knew, none of the disciples knew what Judas had done. They all thought he was one of them. You know, the only person who really knows the hearts of every single human being that's ever lived is God. And that includes, of course, the Lord Jesus, who is God, as well as God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, "The Lord knoweth them that are his." He knows. He knew that Judas was going to betray him. No one else did. Of course, Judas knew his heart, but not as well as the Lord Jesus. We know our hearts up to a certain degree, but not as well as the Lord Jesus. There are no secrets from him. And we read, if you remember, that after he'd taken, that the Lord Jesus, after he'd sat down, he dipped the sop, a piece of bread in the, he dipped it, and then he gave it to Judas. It seemed as though he hadn't finished eating at that point. We're not told what he dipped the sop in, whether it was soup or gravy, whatever it was. He dipped the sop and he gave it, so it's a piece of bread, and he gave it to Judas. And Judas had no idea that he was being given it as a sort of mark of his betrayal. And friends, you know, just because everything goes well with us doesn't mean to say all is well with our souls. It's because we have plenty. We have perhaps more than we need. That doesn't mean necessarily that God is blessing us, although all good things come from him. Friends, the mark of true blessing is when we are faithful to the Lord Jesus and we have peace and we maintain peace in our hearts. That's the only way to have true blessing. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. To be humble and faithful to the Lord Jesus, that is truly the only true life. So we also saw that Judas, in verse 30, after he'd been given the sop, he left. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Things that people do in the dark when they think that no one can see them. Well, people commit murders and robberies, and they are unfaithful to their wives. They go to late night parties. There was a time in the summer. Well, sadly, here they had daylight parties too across the road. But usually, those kind of parties are at night, when somehow it seems more acceptable to people to behave badly. If only men would remember what Psalm 139, verse 12, tells us. It's a good thing for all of us to remember, and particularly you children. "Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. So children, if you're afraid of the dark, I don't when asked, you put your hand up if you are, but supposing you're afraid of the dark, well, you're not alone, you know, but you know the Lord Jesus, he can see you, he can see all around you. So it's dark to you, but it's light to him. And so when we trust the Lord Jesus, we can trust him at night as well as daytime. We've got nothing to fear. Well, let's now go on and consider the verses that we read this morning. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. I'd just like you to have a think about the scene, what had happened. Judas, the betrayer of the Lord Jesus, he'd left to go and do his terrible deed to betray the Lord Jesus to the high priests and the Pharisees. And he'd left this gathering of the Lord Jesus and his disciples. And what a sad thing that was for him. See, the rest of them, what did they do? Well, they had what Matthew Henry describes as table talk. They took advantage of their time with the Lord Jesus to talk about godly things. Friends, there are two ways that we can live our lives. We can live our lives for ourselves, or we can live our lives for the Lord Jesus. And we can waste our time, or we can use our time well. And I say this in the first person as well. I'm not just getting at you. I'm getting at me as well. How are we keeping our time? The verse that I spoke on, which I really think should be our verse for the year, was from Psalm 90. And that again is particularly relevant to those of us who are getting on a bit in years, but it's also relevant to the youngest ones of us as well, because it is a reminder to us that although you think that you've got lots of days ahead, and you probably look at people like me, you probably look around you if you're a child, we're very old, but you know, I can remember my childhood. It's like yesterday. You ask some of the teenagers, ask them, how long ago does it seem when you were a child? And it's not long. And I remember my mother saying, you know, the best years, you know, when children are young, they go so quickly. And friends, it's going to be like that for you. I bet this is true for each of you. Think of your last birthday. Did your last birthday come around a little bit quicker than the one before? Did you think, actually, I can't believe how quickly this year's gone? Because you're going to find that when you're very small, and ours a very long time, when you're older, you know, a year is just like an hour was when you're a little child. Time goes very quickly. And this is the verse that we looked at in, it's Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And that goes for you children. You know, there are some teenagers who will spend all their days on a computer playing computer games. What a waste of time. Time just goes. But there are other children, other teenagers, who will read good Christian books, who read the Bible, who go to church, who will speak to other Christians about the Lord Jesus, who want to learn about the things of eternity, because we're not here for long. And there's a great reward for those who believe in the Lord Jesus. We can spend eternity in heaven. And that's what we're to prepare for now. And so these disciples, they sat with the Lord Jesus while Judas went and prepared for his destruction. That's what it was. He ended up hanging himself. And there is no hope for Judas. The Bible gives us no reason to believe that he changed his mind, that he repented. He regretted what he'd done, but he wasn't given repentance. The Bible says he went to his own place in Acts chapter 1. And so we have seen from there that he went to hell. He's the only person, I think, that we can say with some, sadly, certainty that he went to hell. We can't say that about it. I wouldn't want to say that about anybody else, however wicked they've been, because I don't know. And I don't know what they might have done in the final moments of life. But I fear we can say that about Judas. And he's a warning to us. Let us number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom. So going back to verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified. And there are two ways we can take that verse. We can take that about him referring to the disciples, that now am I glorified. I'm glorified because now there are just true believers left. Before, we had a traitor in our midst, in the midst, and he was, as it were, a spot in our feasts. Rather like, if you're a child, and mummy said, wash your hands before supper. There's one of you who's come to supper and hasn't washed his hands or her hands. And her hands are dirty. And everyone can see the dirt in your fingernails. And mummy has to say, go up and wash your hands. You see, when you sit down to a meal, you want everybody to have clean hands. And when we sit down as Christians together, we need to have clean hands, but not the sort of just, you know, we obviously want to wash, we want to smell nice, but we're always talking about that it's the clean hands of our hearts. We need to be clean inside as well as outside. Are you all clean on the inside as well as the outside? Or are you just had a bath this morning, but you've never really made peace with the Lord Jesus? Do you have peace in your heart because you know him? You know he's paid for your sins on the cross. See, that's true. That's being truly clean. And it was sitting down now with those who were clean, who believed that the Lord Jesus was the Messiah, that he was going to pay for their sins. Verse 31, he was glorified in them. And there's a need for us, friends, to be holy. It's not just enough for us to confess our sins and to believe on the Lord Jesus, but we now need to, by the help of God's Holy Spirit, to live godly lives. Peter wrote this, and Peter was present, of course, on this occasion. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, he wrote, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. So that means in everything that we do, that we are to be holy. We're to please God. We're to do what the Bible tells us to do. And how are you doing, girls, children, on that score? How good have you been? Or if you're honest, you have to say, I haven't been very good. Well, the Lord Jesus can make you good. Only he can. We need to look to him all the time for grace to help. And we're not to have days off being good. There's no day off. The Lord will help us every day. It's a daily life we live as Christians. And so the Lord Jesus was glorified in the disciples because all of them were committed to seeking first the kingdom of God, to live a holy life. But then also there is the Lord Jesus himself. You see, he was to be glorified at the cross. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. And it was as if he could say, in the present tense. Now is the Son of Man glorified. He knew what was going to happen. He knew it as certainly as if it had happened. You and I can't say that about some challenge that lies ahead for us. I have a challenge tomorrow in my job. Perhaps some of you have a challenge at school. Perhaps you've got a test to do. You have, there's a nodding head. Well, you can't say, I've gone to the top of the class. I've been congratulated, because you haven't done the test yet. And it would be a bit presumptuous to say, I've got top marks. But the Lord Jesus, as if he had already done it, could say, now is the Son of Man glorified. See, there's a verse in the Old Testament. It's one of those little gems that is this. It's 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 11. And the king of Israel answered and said, tell him, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. In other words, what it means is that a man who's going out to war will put on his armor, but he doesn't know if he's coming back. The person who takes off his armor has finished the battle and he's still alive. And maybe he's had success and they've won the battle. And so he can boast. He can say, well, he shouldn't boast. We should never boast. But he can at least talk about what he's done. You can't talk about what you've done, though, before you've done it, unless you are the Lord Jesus Christ, who is, as the Son of God, was always going to be glorified. He knew it because he's God. He knew the future. That's the difference between him and us. And he was going to be glorified. He was glorified in what he did on earth. He lived a perfect life. But the greatest glory was going to be in his death. And isn't that a remarkable thing to think about? No, he actually came to die. I mean, when you were born, you're not born. And no one's thinking, well, when are you going to die? Are they? None of us think that. In fact, we're all hoping that we'll live nice, long and happy lives. But the Lord Jesus came into this world to die. And when he met, I'm sorry, I'm repeating myself for those of you who normally come here, John the Baptist, when he met the Lord Jesus, he was his cousin. The first thing he said to him was, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. That's an extraordinary way to greet your cousin. And what he meant by that lamb was a sacrificial lamb. He was the lamb that was going to die. Here he was, the lamb that was going to die. His purpose was to be God's sacrificial lamb for us. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he was able to say that was his purpose, that the Son of Man is glorified. It's a wonderful certainty that he was going to be glorified by his death. He was going to be glorified by everybody hating him and putting him to death. An extraordinary thing, isn't it? That how the Lord Jesus could rise victorious even when the whole world was against him. This is what we read in Acts chapter 13, verses 26 to 30. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre, in a grave. But God raised him from the dead. And that's the great triumph of our faith. The world threw everything against the Lord Jesus. And they put him to death and they thought, that's finished. And they rolled a huge stone across his grave so he could never come out. That wasn't very difficult for an angel. One little finger, and away rolled that big stone that nobody could move. And out came the Lord Jesus, triumphant over death. Are you afraid of dying, children? No one's afraid of dying? I was afraid of dying. I was afraid, because I read too much of Asterix and Obelix, that the sky was going to fall on my head. Have you ever thought that? But you know, the Lord Jesus conquered death. And if you believe in him, you have no fear of death, because he's got you. He's going to keep you safe. And when that moment comes, when you leave this world, you're going to a much better place. To be with the Lord Jesus is far better, the Bible says. It's a great hope for all of us. It means we never need fear death again. And so God raised him from the dead. It didn't matter that the whole world was against the Lord Jesus, because if God is for you, it doesn't matter. Who can be, Paul wrote, if God be with you, who can be against you? And so that is true for all of us. Back to verse 31. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. God was glorified in the Lord Jesus because the Lord Jesus was doing his will. And because when the Lord Jesus went to his death, what he did is he satisfied the justice of God. You see, when he went to his death, he paid for the sins of all of God's people, you and me as well. It's said in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. You see, We had a list of crimes against us. And we had a list of crimes against us. And it's as if all those crimes were crossed out. And a word was written, paid. You see, you, even if you're very small, you've got a list of crimes against you, a list of things where you have offended God. You wouldn't want to know how long that list is, even the youngest of you. I hate to think how long my list is, but you know, on the cross, the Lord Jesus, he wiped it out. He paid in my place for all those crimes that I had committed. All those times I've broken God's law, and I had a black mark against me, on the cross, Jesus paid for them. That's why God was glorified in Jesus Christ. And friends, what a wonderful thing it is that justice has been done for you and me. And we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, but unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ was the power of God and the wisdom of God. He was the wisdom of God because he went to the cross. No one could have thought that that was the way that all our sins would be forgiven. But only God did. And he's the power of God because he alone was able to pay for our sins. He, of all men, he had the power to pay for our sins. And so God was glorified in him. And he was also glorified in himself, says in verse 32. If God be and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself. Think about that for a moment. I don't know if you read obituaries. I do. I enjoy obituaries, particularly of brave people, people who are real heroes, not the false heroes. I don't know if you've read about in history at school. You would have read about some of the brave, the good men of history. You would have read about some of the bad men too, but the heroes, we got heroes in our country. Most people, the last time they had a, that I remember that they asked for who was the most famous person, well, it was Winston Churchill. And Winston Churchill was a hero of our nation. He saved our nation, humanly speaking, from Nazi occupation in the last war. He is a hero. But he's a hero who's died. So when he died, he was honored by our country with a state funeral. And everyone gathered and everyone gave him great honor in his death. And there's a statue of him outside Parliament. There's a statue of Oliver Cromwell as well, another of our heroes. But they're dead. They're not glorified in their life. They're glorified in their death. Now, we're not talking about whether they've gone to heaven or not. That's a matter I cannot comment on. I believe Oliver Cromwell was a Christian. I'm not sure about Winston Churchill. I hope he was by the time he died. Point is that the world can only glorify somebody really in their death. They're not there. They're not there to enjoy it. But the Lord Jesus has been glorified in his life, because he's been raised up from the dead. From the dead. What a wonderful thing. There's one man who's been raised up from the grave and will no longer die. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will all live with him in eternity after we have died. So we read, if now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. He's glorified in him because he sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And the Bible says he ever lives to pray for us, to make intercession. And then verse 32, if God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. And this is saying that he would be straightway glorified. In other words, he wasn't going to stay in the grave long enough for his body to be to start disintegrating. On the third day, before corruption had set in, his body was raised from the dead, and then he was taken to heaven. He was straightway glorified. It's a wonderful truth, what the Lord Jesus told his disciples. And he goes on in verse 33, little children, yet a little while I'm with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. Little children, he was very loving to his disciples. And we're all children of God. We're all children of the Lord Jesus, if we believed upon him. So you might think, isn't that odd? You might think, I'm a little child. Why is the Lord Jesus calling grown-ups little children? Well, because in truth we are. Before the Lord Jesus, we're all little children. And the Bible said, the Lord Jesus said, unless you can become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. If you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you've got to become like a little child. Not childish, but childlike. Humbling ourselves and doing what the Lord says that we should do. Little children, let a little while I'm with you. There was a great comfort in his bodily presence. He was going to send the Holy Spirit in his place, but there was nothing like having him there, physically present. And then it says, ye shall seek me. And as I said, whither I go, you cannot come. In John 7, verse 34, he said to the Jews, ye shall seek me and shall not find me. See, the great thing is that we who seek the Lord If we seek the Lord, we will find him. We'll find him by faith. Do you want to know the Lord Jesus and have him in your heart? Well, seek him. Ask him to come in today to wash away your sins. That's a call. It's a call for all of us to repent and believe the Lord Jesus Christ is our Saviour. And that call is to little children, remember? It includes everybody, from the youngest, the smallest of you here, to the oldest. In Jesus' sight, we're all little children. He isn't a respecter of persons. He isn't going to say, well, you know, you're the minister, I have a special favour for you. You're much better than everybody else. He knows that I'm just as much a sinner as you are. And his call goes out to me as well as you. But will we hear it and obey it? That's the challenge for today. You see, if we're do you want to glorify the Lord Jesus? That's my final question. Do you want to honor him? To be like those 11 disciples, those righteous disciples? Well, make your peace with the Lord Jesus today. The earlier you do it, the better your life will be. You've got the whole of your life ahead of you to serve the Lord Jesus. Why don't we do it today? Amen.